When blind people have thought about Macromedia Flash, they generally associate it with inaccessible websites, but that's about to change. Macromedia has this week unveiled a new Macromedia player, which will be available shortly, that implements Microsoft Active Accessibility, and WindowEyes already has support for it in its latest public beta. To tell us about this most exciting development, we're joined by Bob Regan, Macromedia's Director of Accessibility. That's significant in itself, that, you know, that there is such a person, such a title.
Yeah, the role has been around for a while, actually. And it, you know, it started somewhat informally after some meetings with the National Center for Accessible Media here in the U.S. And one of our product managers really got the bug and realized that we need to be doing a lot more to address this issue. And then that turned into a formal position, I would say, probably about a year ago. And I have been in the role for about 6 months.
Macromedia's move towards accessibility, is this really a direct result of the requirements that Section 508 of the Rehab Act have imposed on companies in the United States?
I would say that the impetus came a little bit sooner. But what 508 has done is attach an economic model to our work on accessibility. And so it's given us an easier argument in all cases to say, you know, look, there's a real market here that we need to pay attention to, and as a result, you know, that ends up trumping everything else in some cases and getting the resources we need to push this issue forward. And in a lot of other cases, you know, we find people that, you know, may not have come across the issue before and that are under very tight budgets and very, very tight constraints. And then when we're able to put that in front of them to say, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to lose markets. You're going to lose the federal government market in the United States, as well as many of the international markets. That makes the argument much easier. And we see a lot more progress than we were able to otherwise.
Now, the breakthrough that we're here specifically to discuss, of course, relates to Macromedia Flash, and I know that many of our users have observed up until now the hassle that arises from going to a website and finding that it's so rich in Flash that it's difficult for a blind person to interact with the content. Can you take us through what specifically the development is and what it means for blind people?
Well, first of all, the development is that we've added support for Microsoft Active Accessibility into the Macromedia Flash Player 6. What this does is it provides a standard for AT vendors to use to incorporate support for Flash directly into their products. As of the launch, the first of these products is going to be GW Micro's WindowEyes. Now, what this means is that existing Flash 4 and Flash 5 content will be available in that the WindowEyes screen reader will be able to read the text elements and buttons within those movies. Now, within the Flash MX application, the authoring tool, we've added a new panel for developers and designers to provide text equivalents for graphic elements within Flash movies. Now, what that will do is not only operate like an alt text field in HTML, but it will also allow people to provide text equivalents for an entire movie or for a group of elements within a movie or even to hide particular elements within a movie that are either purely decorative or redundant or might potentially cause a screen reader to get chatty, so to speak, and to provide a single text equivalent in those types of instances.
So this sounds like a significant breakthrough. Does it mean, though, that you're going to have to really try and inculcate a new development culture in developers of Macromedia Flash movies because they're not used to having to do this until now?
To an extent. I mean, since the Flash content is reading the text automatically, in most of those instances, the content should be more accessible right out of the gate. But there's always some degree of designer subjectivity involved in accessible design of in any platform, in any environment. And what we're going to do is also work very, very hard through our Accessibility Resource Center to inform our designers about the types of content that will be most usable in a screen reader environment as well as in other environments.
Now, because blind people have really shied away from Flash up until now, how does Flash actually work? What can it offer? How does the average user work with it from on a day-to-day basis?
Well, in many cases, I believe that the assistive technology, it's up to the individual assistive technology to declare whether or not the content they're hearing is actually Flash or not. So in a lot of cases, for simple elements, such as an animated Flash banner or a banner ad, as are two very simple, common uses of Flash content, the assistive technology user may not be aware that they're hearing Flash. Now, I believe GW Micro has added in a feature that will declare whether or not the content is Flash. In other instances, in some of the demonstration content that we've been working on, there have been some really clever little tools that have been built that I haven't seen in outside of Flash. For example, a navigation bar which has categories and subcategory headings that a screen reader user can activate and access subcategory headings without having to listen to the subcategory links in every one of the categories, which can make it very quick and easy to navigate. Now, the same tool is conveyed visually. So it's very unique that these same features are conveyed visually and through a screen reader at the same time. So it makes it very easy for a developer to add that type of functionality in. Some of the limitations of this is that there's not a tremendously variety, there's not a lot of variety of ways for us to communicate with the screen reader. Unlike a piece of HTML content or a Microsoft Word document, for example, rich media content can change over time. So if somebody creates a Flash movie that changes after the screen reader has read the contents of that movie, the player will then send a signal to the screen reader that says, there's been a change, come back and read this again. And the only ability of the screen reader at this point is to return to the top of the page and start reading it over. So one of the things we have to help make our designers aware of is that something that changes constantly will force the screen reader to constantly return to the top of the page. Now, we've approached this solution in a couple of different ways. First of all, we've provided the ability to provide text equivalents for those elements so that they're not visible to the assistive technology, so it doesn't constantly force it back to the top of the page. And for designers that aren't attentive to these issues, we've also worked with, at least in the first case with GW Micro, to add in a keystroke into Window Eyes to halt Flash events so that they can, a screen reader user can stop the chattiness of certain Flash movies. This would be most prevalent in something that's constantly moving visually on the screen. The other thing that's really nice is that the screen reader actually resolves an issue that we have for users with mobility issues, in that the MSAA mode of Window Eyes interprets browser focus and allows the screen reader user to move between HTML, Flash content, and back into HTML content quite seamlessly. There are a little bit more complex solutions required outside of the screen reader environment for that particular issue. That would involve using the tab index attribute in HTML or setting a tab index within the Flash content itself.
That's a pretty significant development then for both Macromedia and Window Eyes, because up until now, what seems to have happened with MSAA-type modes in web browsers is that they load a static copy of the HTML into their own buffer and manipulate the raw HTML that way. And obviously there are, as you've explained, unique challenges associated with dynamic content in the Flash arena.
Yes. Yes. And it's really, you know, it pushes us a little bit to think about how do we want to interact with rich media content in a screen reader environment. I think that as the navigation example shows, there are things that we can do in Flash that it quickly and easily that aren't otherwise possible and that offer real benefits there. So we want to be attentive to what we can do both within Macromedia and as well with our partners to help create experiences that are as engaging and as exciting within a screen reader environment as they are visually.
Now, there are a number of assistive technology vendors producing screen reading products. What was it about GW Micro that has meant that theirs is the first to market with this flash support?
We've certainly been working with all of the leading vendors of assistive technology. And GW Micro was very, very active in pursuing support for the flash player and worked with us quite closely. I think that's a factor of the built-in support for MSA within the WindowEyes product. I think it's a factor of their geographic proximity to the Macromedia headquarters. And I think it's also a factor of the interest in the flash content among the GW Micro staff. They were very excited about this possibility from the beginning and continue to be. And that's not to say that the other vendors aren't. It's simply that GW Micro got done first.
Is this functionality available in the latest public beta of WindowEyes that is currently out there?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So anyone who has, I think it's 4.2 beta 2, will be ready to go. And what do they need at the Macromedia end? The latest flash player, I take it?
That's right. That will be available. We're going to be announcing that very soon, and roughly 2 weeks or so after the announcement, then the Flash Player 6 will be available for download for free from the Macromedia website. Now, one thing I should note, the Macromedia website itself quite extensively uses Flash. So if you are a screen reader user and coming to download the page, there's a link at the very beginning of the Macromedia website, macromedia.com, that takes you to instructions to, it takes you to a link to follow the HTML version of our site. From there, you can follow to download the Flash Player, so that you know once you have the Flash Player installed, you will be able to access the Flash version of the site with no trouble.
Can a blind person, software developer, web developer, can a blind person create Flash content?
At this point, we've really used a lot of our resources to get the improvement into the player, and we consider that to be a first step. I think that in the next version, we're really going to spend a lot more time looking into making Flash a tool for developers as well as an end product for people who are blind. But at this point, most of our efforts have been put into the player.
And presumably will continue to be until all of the leading screen reader manufacturers are supporting Flash 6.
Yeah, at this point, what we do is we have a specification that we distribute to vendors of assistive technology, and then we provide support either through myself and my staff or through the engineering staff at Flash. And that process is going quite nicely, but you know, at this point we don't have anything else to announce. We'll wait for finished products, and then we'll let the assistive technology vendors make those announcements.
Okay, yeah, so you've done the work. I mean, the specification is there, and it's a package, and it's up to the software developers now to get on and implement that.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. I've heard good things about Dreamweaver accessibility too, that obviously Macromedia has really jumped on the accessibility bandwagon and appreciated how important it is, and is actually, beyond the Flash arena even, encouraging developers to be cognizant of accessibility when they put sites together.
Absolutely. I think that this is a huge issue for the entire company, and it's not something that I think that they've tried in the past. We've bolted on accessibility as an add-on to what we've done to address issues that we've inherited from previous versions of our products. But I think we're moving to a place where it becomes one of the core principles of our design, and we want to make it something we think about at every step of the way. I think that one of the reasons that Macromedia has such great potential for influencing accessibility, because if what comes out of our tools is inherently more accessible than what is done today or what is done with our competitor products, then I think that's a victory for everybody. A number of professional web designers use our products to create the content of the web, and our goal is to not only make sure that if they don't think about accessibility, that their stuff comes out better than it was before, but also that we provide them with the best tools to create accessible content. Now, in At the same time, we're also working very, very hard to improve the accessibility of the authoring environment as well, to make sure that people who rely on assistive technology can use our tools quickly and as easily as anybody else. And so, you know, a lot of the ways that we've done that is by, of course, you know, continuing to integrate accessibility into our development cycle. And at the same time, we want to make sure that we're getting feedback from users with disabilities and that we're collecting solid information. So we've worked very hard to create infrastructure to accommodate people with disabilities within our traditional beta testing and usability programs. In a lot of cases, for example, with Flash, it didn't fit the traditional beta model because our beta testers are typically expert users of Flash. Now, because of the historical inaccessibility of the product, we simply haven't been able to incorporate people who are blind into that process. So instead, we use our usability testing group, which is able to construct specific tasks so that we can get very, very specific feedback from users. At the same time, we've also created a mailing list, wish-accessibility@macromedia.com, whereby we collect information from users with disabilities. What do they want to see? What's important to them? We can't solve all of the problems within the authoring tool and in the output side in a single version. So we really try to solicit as much input as we can from advocacy groups, from accessibility experts, from users themselves to help us set our priorities to make sure that we're doing as good a job as possible in creating products that are accessible and create engaging content for everybody.
Presumably in the latter part of this process, you've been able to let some blind people get their hands on beta copies just to make sure it all works. But what sort of feedback have you received from private testers about how this is working?
So far, so good. I think that people are very, very excited about what they've seen so far. I think that, you know, the main thing and the main challenge right now is because the authoring environment itself, it wasn't one of the main focuses. We did incorporate some basic groundwork there for future versions, but the bulk of our work was done in building support to the player. So we have to get demonstration content up as soon as possible. What we did do was point people to existing Flash content and then to some simple examples that we have through our in-house development group. And the reaction was very, very strongly positive. And that I think that this represents a big leap in terms of, you know, making a lot more content available to people who use screen readers, and at the same time into thinking about new ways, new tools for screen reader users to improve the usability of the web, improve the usability of sites within the screen reader environment.
That's a very good point, because there's a convergence going on, isn't there, that while people like Macromedia are becoming more aware of the need, there are also tools being developed by the AT vendors that are actually making it a bit easier for the developers to comply.
And those relationships have been really important. I think they'll continue to be in the future. I mean, we're doing everything we can to solicit input from the disability community to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And I think that, you know, some of our best input in that area is going to come from AT vendors, who will really be able to help us take advantage of some of the breakthroughs that they've made recently.
Okay, so we'll no doubt be able to report when the official release of Flash 6 is out. And just to summarize then, that if people go to content when they have installed this player and they have a version of a screen reader that supports this, there may well be, you'll be able to access buttons, but they may not necessarily initially speak what those buttons are. Is that correct? Because they may not have a textual label.
That's right.
Right.
So, for example, I'm working with a faculty member at the University of Wisconsin who has a piece of content which is almost entirely text except for a series of iconic buttons along the bottom. Without any textual labels, the screen reader user will merely hear the words button, 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 button. So they'll be forced to do a little bit of exploration in order to use that content initially.
Okay, and once people come up to speed with developing for Flash 6, hopefully the word will get out, and even consumers, of course, will encourage the developers of those newer versions of the Flash to implement accessibility features.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've been writing to web designers for years, nagging them about alt tags, so it's really just another part of that process.
Yeah, and I think that the more that screen reader users communicate to developers and designers that this is important, I think the more likely we are to see continued movement in this area. The role of screen reader user community in this process cannot be overstated. That, you know, the reason we have Section 508 in the United States, as well as national policies throughout many other countries in the world, is because of the advocacy of people with disabilities themselves. And I think that continuing to play a proactive role, not just in pushing designers and developers, but also pushing software vendors like Macromedia, is crucial in seeing continued movement in this process. I know that at Macromedia, we by no means see this as a last step in accessibility. We see this as a first step, and we want to make sure that as we go forward, we're actually making improvements that will be valuable to people within the disability community.
Well, congratulations. This is a significant breakthrough, and we certainly appreciate you coming on the program to share it with us.
Thank you so much.
That's Bob Regan from Macromedia. So how good is this really? Well, I said to the good folk at Macromedia that what would be good is if I could get a copy of the software and put it through its paces just a little bit to show you what it's all about. And they've agreed. They've given me a beta copy of the Macromedia Flash Player, and I'm already running WindowEyes 4.2 Beta 2. I'm at my homepage now in Internet Explorer.
Welcome to AC Free Radio, the voice of the world's blind community, Microsoft Internet Explorer maximized.
And we're going to go visiting some sites, first of all, that I know to be Flash sites. The first one is my ISP that I've just joined, which is called paradise.net.nz. And I know that they have a link on their site that says a Flash version and a non-Flash version, and that when you turn the Flash version on, there are substantial parts of the site that I've been missing out on. So I'm going to press Control-O to open a website and just type in www.paradise.net.nz and press the Enter key.
Welcome to AC Free Radio, the voice of the world's blind community, Microsoft Internet Explorer.
And the page should be loading now.
Done, Internet.
It's done. So maybe it's not speaking. Well, let's just use the tab key.
Button.
Okay, so that's new. It's now saying button.
Members button.
And look at that. This is all stuff that I haven't been able to hear before. So there's a members button here.
About button.
About.
Plans button.
Plans.
Join button.
And join.
Mail button. Help button. Detect frames default gyre in main stream
right,
link.
So now we're on to
NetGuide Web Awards 20.
Regular HTML links that I knew were there before, but I had no idea that those links were at the top because that, or those buttons were at the top because they were Flash.
Help button, mail button, join button.
Let's go and press the join button, I presume by pressing enter on it.
MSO mode off, join button.
And it now, I think, has loaded the page. I don't appear to automatically be getting speech.
Error on page.
When it's loading, and I'm getting an error on page message. I think that might be to do with some Java.
MSA mode on.
I had to turn MSAA mode on manually.
Top. Joining Paradise.net couldn't be easier.
But nevertheless, I have actually managed to navigate to the join button as a result of using the Flash buttons at the top of this page. So it does work. We'll go back
off
to the top. Those buttons will probably still be there.
Button. Members button.
There's one button without text. I don't know what that does.
About button. Plans button.
So let's go into the Plans button.
MSO mode off.
So
Plans button.
I've pressed enter on it. And now I
MSO mode on.
Appear on this side, at least have to turn MSAA mode back on again.
At Paradise.net, we offer two kinds of access plan. Silent
and
link.
There, it's now taking me to the regular stuff on the site. So that works. There is material there I couldn't read before. Now, we'll go to another site. This one is a pain because, in fact, it just changed on me last week and I was lamenting this. This is a website that offers streaming hosting services called MediaCast1.com, and all of a sudden, about mid last week, they put this Flash intro that I've never seen before at the front of their site, and unless you knew another URL to navigate to, you couldn't get past it with a screen reader. And I want to know if I can now get past it. So let's see, we'll go Control-O.
Dialog. Open.
And we'll type www.mediacast1.com and press Enter.
Veritas.net Microsoft Internet Explorer. Mediacast.
And there we are. This is all very cool. And you hear this a lot on websites. They've got these fancy introductions, often with music playing, and completely, it's like, as far as a screen reader is concerned, the page may as well be blank. Totally frustrating.
Virtual Media Center button, website hosting button.
And look at that, it's already talking. It never used to talk before. That has never said a thing. So if I go to the top of the page and start tabbing.
Stream hosting button.
Look at that, we've got stream hosting.
Virtual Media Center button. Website hosting button.
And they're all there. So we'll go to the stream hosting button.
Virtual stream hosting button.
Press enter.
MSO mode off. Stream hosting button.
And now the music stopped, which is a good indicator.
Mediacast1.com, the next level in stream hosting. Table 1 star 3
now,
rows 3
there
columns. Mediacast1.com link or justroom.php link table 1 and home visit.
I'll just push the escape key to stop automatic reading. Now, in that case, Window Eyes behave perfectly, so there may be some JavaScript-related error on that other site. I pushed enter on the button, it turned MSAA mode off, loaded the page, turned MSAA mode back on, and started reading the page as I would expect, and now I'm actually out of Flash.
Mediacast1.com link.
Because it was just that top page that had the Flash intro. Live365, it's never done it for me, but for some people, Live365 has had the same sort of Flash intro, at least at some times during its life. I don't know whether it still exists. But by the looks of it, you'd be able to navigate that as well. So this is really something. Now, I've also got a presentation that the Macromedia people sent to me. It's a mock-up. And I'm just going to open that now. This is quite an extensive presentation. I'll go to C:\temp, where I put it, /trio.htm.
Combo. Edit box. Mediacast 1.
And I think...
Research button ZX2002, Governance button, Overview button, Insider News button, PowerPoint button, Instrumentation button, Safety button, Trio ZX2002. The Trio ZX2002 provides the ultimate in efficiency and performance by marrying stylish looks and cutting-edge technology. Externally, the ZX2002 is finished off with ultra plutonium 23, creating less turbulence and therefore less drag, resulting in a 0.1 coefficient of drag.
Yes, what a lot of nonsense. So we've got a demo presentation here, and it's reading that text just fine, and you heard the buttons at the top of the screen.
Top.
And we can...
Dealers button.
Tab through those.
Orders button. Research button. Government button. Overview button. Insider news button. Safety button. Instrumentation button. Safety button.
Let's press enter on the safety button.
MSO mode off. Safety button.
And I think MSAA mode has come back on.
Top.
Yes, so we'll just check.
The safety of the Trio ZX2002 is backed by redundant driver protection RDP technology.
Quite right.
The core of RDP is based on critical protection points that have been identified throughout the body of the car using progressive...
And I can tab through from here.
Instrumentation button. Safety button.
Yep, so what this is really just like a web page. It's a similar kind of model to the way that PDF has implemented accessibility. So there is still a lot of training involved to make sure that you just don't hear button, 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 but it's surprising how much is actually working all right already. And obviously we'll all play a part in advocacy now that the technology exists. There's one downside to this, just being a little bit flippant, and that is that a lot of ads on websites are animated using Flash, so you may find that suddenly the web is a lot more full of ads than you ever thought before. But still, access to information is what it's all about. So well done to GW Micro and to Macromedia. Very nice indeed, and obviously we'll let you know when the player is actually officially released. That's Macromedia Player 6, starting to break that accessibility barrier.